You're 40 minutes into a solo cross-country sun is out. Winds are light. You've hit your first checkpoint right on time, and you're feeling good about yourself. Then you glance down at the ammeter, and it's showing a discharge. The little needle has drifted to the left side. And just like that, the flight you planned is not the flight you're flying anymore. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar, and today I want to walk you through one of the most misunderstood emergencies in general aviation. Not because it's dramatic, not because the engine is going to quit, but because it's quiet, it's gradual, and it punishes you for every minute you spend doing nothing about it. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private, pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. So let's set this up properly. You're in a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, or really any single-engine trainer with a standard electrical system. You've got an engine-driven alternator that charges the battery and powers all your electrical equipment in flight. The battery is the backup. Think of the alternator as the paycheck and the battery as the savings account. When that alternator fails, the paycheck stops, but the lights stay on, the radio still works, the transponder is still squawking, the GPS is still showing you a pretty moving map. Everything looks normal, and that is exactly the trap. Because now you're spending and not earning. Every amp your avionics draw is coming straight out of the battery, and depending on your airplane, that battery might give you 30 minutes. Maybe 45, maybe less if it wasn't fully charged to begin with, or if it's an older battery that doesn't hold charge the way it used to. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The alternator failure is not an engine emergency. Your engine doesn't care about the alternator. The magnetos fire the spark plugs all by themselves. The engine will keep running just fine. But everything else in that cockpit that uses electricity is now on a countdown, and you have to decide how to manage that countdown. Let's walk through this together. Step 1. Recognize what's happening. In most trainers, you have two instruments that tell you about your electrical system: the ammeter and the low voltage warning light. Some airplanes have a voltmeter instead. The ammeter is the one most students learn first. If it's showing a discharge, that means the battery is providing current to the electrical bus. That means the alternator is not doing its job. The low voltage light, if your airplane has one, might also illuminate. Now here's where the scenario branches. And this is what makes it a great decision-making exercise. Your first move is to try to reset the system. In most Cessna and Piper trainers, you have an alternator circuit breaker or an alternator field breaker. Check your specific airplane's checklist because the procedure varies, but generally you'll turn off the alternator side of the master switch, wait a few seconds, and turn it back on. Sometimes the alternator just tripped offline from a voltage spike and it comes right back. If it comes back, great, monitor it closely for the rest of the flight. But you can continue with your plan. If it doesn't come back, that's when the real decision-making starts. And this is the part where I see students freeze. They know something is wrong. They know the battery is draining. But they don't do anything about it because the airplane still feels normal. The engine is humming. The sky is blue. Everything seems fine. It's not fine. You are on a clock. So what do? You need to answer 3 questions, and you need to answer them quickly. Question 1. Where am I right now? Not in the philosophical sense. I mean literally. Where are you over the ground? How far are you from the nearest suitable airport? And do you know how to get there without GPS? Because here's the thing. If you shed your electrical load to conserve battery, which you should, one of the first things you might turn off is that GPS. And if you've been following the magenta line for the whole flight without cross-referencing your sectional chart, you might suddenly realize you don't know exactly where you are. This is why pilotage and dead reckoning still matter. This is why the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, tests you on navigation without GPS, because when the electrons stop flowing, the sectional chart doesn't care. Question 2. How much battery do I have left, and what do I absolutely need to keep powered? This is a triage decision. Think about what's drawing current in your cockpit. The radios, the transponder, the GPS, the turn coordinator if it's electric, landing lights, nav lights, the flaps. If your airplane has electric flaps, all of those are draining the battery. You need to prioritize. What do you need? You need a radio to talk to ATC or to announce your position at a non-towered field. You need a transponder if you're in airspace that requires one. Everything else is a luxury, so you start shedding load. Turn off the GPS, turn off the autopilot if you have one. Turn off the number 2 radio if you have a second GOTCOM. Dim any panel lights. Turn off anything that draws power and isn't essential to getting you on the ground safely. And here's a tip that a lot of students don't think about. You can turn the avionics master off entirely and only turn it back on when you need to make a radio call. Transmit your message, get your response, then turn it off again. You're rationing. Every minute of radio silence is a minute of battery life you're banking for when you really need it, like when you're setting up for your approach. Question 3, and this is the big one. Do I continue to my destination, divert to a closer airport, or turn around? This is where scenario-based decision-making earns its name, because the answer depends on the situation. Let me give you 3 versions of this same emergency, and watch how the right answer changes every time. Version 1. You're 20 minutes from your destination airport. There's a small untowered field 10 minutes to your west. Weather is clear everywhere. You have plenty of fuel. In this case, diverting to the closer airport probably makes the most sense. 10 minutes is better than 20 when you're on battery power. You don't need a tower, you don't even need a radio at an untowered field, though it's nice to have one. Land, sort out the alternator on the ground, and call it a win version 2. You're 40 minutes from your destination. There's an airport 5 minutes behind you, the one you just passed. And there's a towered airport 25 minutes to your north. Turn around. 5 minutes of battery drain versus 25 or 40? That's not even a close call. Ego says keep going. Experience says land version 3. You're over mountainous terrain. The nearest airport is 30 minutes away in any direction. Weather is deteriorating to the west. You have 3 hours of fuel, but no idea how much battery life is left. Now it gets harder. You might need to declare an emergency. And students, I need you to hear this clearly. You are allowed to declare an emergency. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.3 gives you the authority. An alternator failure with deteriorating options is a perfectly valid reason to use the word emergency on the radio. ATC will roll out the red carpet. They will give you priority handling, vectors to the nearest suitable field, and they will clear a path for you. No pilot has ever gotten in trouble for declaring an emergency when they genuinely believe the safety of the flight was in question. The paperwork is minimal. The consequences of not declaring when you should have are potentially fatal. Let me add another layer to this that most training scenarios skip. What happens when the battery dies completely? You lose your radios, you lose your transponder. If you have electric flaps, you lose those too, which means you're landing without flaps. In most trainers, that's manageable, but you need to know what your no-flap approach speed and landing distance look like. Have you practiced that? Because if you haven't, your first time doing it shouldn't be when the battery is dead and your palms are sweating. You also lose your turn coordinator if it's electrically driven. In a Cessna 172 with a standard six-pack, the turn coordinator is electric. So in a partial panel situation with no electrical power, you've lost that instrument. You still have the attitude indicator and heading indicator if they're vacuum driven, but it's worth knowing which instruments in your airplane depend on electricity versus vacuum versus pitot static pressure. And if you're flying at night, an alternator failure at night is a significantly more serious situation. You're going to lose your panel lights, your nav lights, your landing light. You're going to be in a dark cockpit. This is where a flashlight in your flight bag goes from nice to have to life-saving. The ACS expects you to carry a flashlight for night flights. This is why. Here's the takeaway I want you to carry with you. The alternator failure is a teaching scenario because it tests everything at once. It tests your system's knowledge. Do you understand how your electrical system works? It tests your situational awareness. Do you know where you are and where you can go? It tests your decision-making. Can you evaluate options and pick the best one under pressure? And it tests your priorities. Do you fly the airplane first, or do you get tunnel vision troubleshooting the problem? The answer is always fly the airplane first. Aviate, navigate, communicate in that order. The airplane does not care about your electrical system. It wants to fly. Let it fly while you work the problem. If you're training for a check ride, the examiner is looking for a logical sequence. Identify the problem, attempt a reset. If the reset fails, shed electrical load, assess your options, pick the best airport, and get there. Communicate your situation, land safely. That's it. That's the whole thing. Practice this on your next flight. Not for real, obviously. But sit in the airplane, on the ground with your instructor, and talk through it. Where would you go if the alternator quit right now? What about from the practice area? What about 20 minutes into your cross country? Run the scenarios in your head so that when the ammeter twitches for real, your brain already has a plan. A lot of what I cover today comes straight out of the Pilot's Operating Handbook for your airplane and the FAA's Risk Management Handbook, which is free on the FAA's website. Both are worth reading more than once. That's all for today on Traffic Pattern. More at RadioHangar.com. Fly the airplane, watch the amateur, and keep a flashlight in the bag. See you next time.